upon his throne, surrounded by the angel song. For every hour of every day, somewhere on earth a soul is saved. And as each sinner makes his choice, the angels loudly lift their voice. In thunderous chorus they proclaim, worthy, worthy is thy name. So if the angels loudly sing, each time a soul makes Jesus King, the song in heaven never stops, a constant praise to the Lamb of God. Yet very soon there'll come a day when angels will give louder praise. Imagine what that sound will be when the Father says, Son, it's time to leave. And when he sends up, the heavens will roar with shouts of praise like never before. The Father'll say, my son, arise, the time has come, go get your bride. The earth will shake with a trumpet blast, and all the saints will rise at last. If you think heaven's loud enough, just wait till he stands up.
And when he stands up, the heavens will roar with shouts of praise like never before. The Father'll say, my son, arise, the time has come, go get your bride. The earth will shake with a trumpet blast, and all the saints will rise at last. If you think heaven's loud enough, just wait till he stands up. If you think heaven's loud enough, just wait till he stands up.
It's great. Great singing. Enjoyed it. Great song. Thank you, folks, for that. Open your Bible to Matthew 28 today. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 28. Let me encourage you to honor the Lord and His time this morning. And it is His time. It's not our time. It's His time. Amen. It all belongs to Him. And make sure your cell phones are off on silent. You know what? It would be a good thing if you weren't bothered by a buzz or a vibration or any kind of tone for the next, for the next little bit, right? Amen. All right. I'm not going to put myself on the time clock today. Let's stand together in honor of God's Word. You're in Matthew 28. Why don't we read the entire passage starting with verse 18 together this morning, okay? This has been the emphasis the last several weeks. Let's look at it this morning. Beginning in verse 18 down through verse 20, let's read. Ready? Together. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. I want to speak on the Great Commission. Father, bless us today in your word. Open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things from your law, your book, and then, Lord, may we have a receptive heart to receive it in faith believing. Fill us with your Spirit, both speaker and listener. We need your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. Missions Emphasis Month has ended, but the emphasis on missions at Faith Baptist Church should never end. Never. I want to say thank you for your generosity, for the tremendous financial offering that you gave our four missionary families and our guest speaker, Brother Harrison, at the beginning of the month. We were able to give each of them. In fact, we gave them a check when they were here, but based on what everybody gave, we now have to send another check with a supplemental offering. Amen? It's not a supplemental investigation. It's a supplemental offering. Amen? Man, was it tempting to preach on that stuff this morning. But anyway, stay on course, Brother Terry. Stay on course. Now, I missed the first 2 weeks of the Missions Emphasis, two Sundays in a row because of the accident in Georgia. So I want to say a bit more about this command because I had more messages I wanted to preach, didn't get to it. This command that was given by Jesus Christ to take the gospel to every nation. The theme of the month was taken from this passage, specifically verse number 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Teach, all nations. And please don't crucify us. We adapted it. We adapted teach all nations to teach every nation, not changing the Bible, but just so we could have a theme of Mission 10, T-E-N. Teach every nation. That was our theme. Now, I don't think anybody can argue that Jesus sent these people. Jesus said, go ye therefore. So this is Jesus sending them. Now, this is more well known as the Great Commission. You won't find that term in the Bible, the Great Commission. But that's what these verses are known as. I did a little research, and the term Great Commission puts a different light on it than the word mission. Okay? The word mission. And I did some reading on it and found out that actually it was the term Great Commission was used back, I think, in the 1700s, penned by an author. The person who really kind of made it famous was Hudson Taylor, that great missionary who took the gospel to several different places. And Hudson Taylor would use that phrase. He'd use that the Great Commission to really motivate God's people to either go with the gospel themselves or to give so that others can go and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I said there's a difference between mission and commission. Someone might create their own mission, but it has no legitimacy, no authority, no power behind it. Commission carries with it the idea of being authorized and empowered on a mission. And when I studied that out, it dawned on me without that. This is not in the material. This is me meditating, praying, thinking. It dawned on me. Boy, I'm telling you, it helps to be faithful in your Bible reading. It helps to get familiar with the Bible. Because I just read Acts chapter 5. So I'm thinking that a mission is just somebody can create their own mission with their own thinking, and it really has no authority, no legitimacy. There's no power behind it. Whereas a commission is somebody that's sent out with legitimacy and authority and power. And I thought, So keep your finger here, Matthew. We're going to go all over the place today, okay? This is the most scattered. This is a homiletical nightmare, okay? But I don't care, okay? So look at Acts 5 with me. Look at Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, and I just thank the Lord for His Word, amen? Powerful, powerful book. Acts chapter 5. Beginning with verse 14, okay? So here's what's happening in Acts chapter 5. The believers are witnessing in verse 14, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes of men and women. Verse 15 and 16, there were sign gifts, there was healing that was taking place, which was for the apostolic, was because of the apostolic sign gifts. And in verse 17, the high priest rose up and all that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, filled with indignation and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. So they imprisoned these witnesses for Christ. Okay. Verse 19. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. You see that. The angel of the Lord said, leave. But the doors are locked and the prison's guarded. But God said, leave. And they left. So how did that happen? It's a good question. It's called a miracle. And they go to the temple and they teach. Now, end of verse number 19, verse number 20 says, but the high priest came. and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. See why it was hard to stay on course this week, the senate? So all the bigwigs got together, okay? High priest and all the bigwigs, go down to the prison and bring those prisoners up here. Verse 22. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keeper standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. The cells are empty. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest, all the bigwigs, heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. This is going to get out. Text messages, emails, Instagram. This is getting out. Then it got worse. They're not only not in the prison, verse 25, then came one and told them, excuse me, behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should have been stoned. When they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest straightly, he asked them, how'd you get out? He didn't ask that. Isn't that a little weird to you? Don't you think you'd want to know what happened here? Did we not, look at verse 20, what is it, 20, where am I at? 28. Did not we straightly command you that ye should not teach in this name? Behold, you fill Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon. Then Peter answered that great statement, we ought to obey God rather than men. Amen. Great statement. Verse 32, and we are his witnesses. They are described, defined as his witnesses. When they heard that, this council, these bigwigs, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Let's kill them. Right here, right now. All right. Verse 34. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel. Gamaliel stands up, a voice of reason says, whoa. He says, hold on. Verse 36. Before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. If you like to mark your Bible, outside that verse 36, write mission. Here is a guy who had a mission. He had no legitimacy behind it, no power behind it, no authority behind it. He said, I believe in this. And he got the 400 guys with him. And started out on their mission with no legitimacy, no power, no authority, and they were all, it came to naught. Verse 37. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. Verse 37, mission. Here's Judas. No legitimacy, no power, no authority. Hey, I believe this. Let's do this. Here goes a bunch of people with him. It comes to naught. Verse 38. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, mission, are you with me, church? It will come to verse 39. But if it be of God, if they've been commissioned, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. If this is a commission, if this has legitimacy and power and authority behind it, leave it alone. Verse 40, and to him they agreed. Now, folks, do you know why they were quick to agree that if this thing is of God, how could they explain them getting out of prison? Oh, Gamaliel's a thinker. Oh, Gamaliel's thinking, oh, this is different. Here's this guy, Theudas. He raises up. He's got a mission, gets 400 people, but it has no legitimacy, no power, no authority behind it. It comes to nothing. Here's Judas. He's got this mission he wants to get involved in. It's got no legitimacy, no power, no authority. It comes to naught. But you know what? These men were locked in prison, and somehow, some way, they got out of that jail cell without anybody opening the doors. There's something different about they've been commissioned. And this fits with Matthew 28. Let's go back there. Matthew, hold your finger in Acts 5. We'll be back there again. In Matthew 28, this fits because of verse number 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. There's the commission. It has legitimacy, it has power, it has authority behind it. Who's legitimized it? Whose authority is behind it? Whose power is behind it? The triune God's. That's why Gamaliel said, if this thing is a God, you better leave it alone. You can't touch it. They had a commission. They had legitimacy, they had authority, they had power behind what they were doing. They were witnessing. That's what Peter said they were doing. And they had legitimacy and power and authority behind it. It came from Jesus Christ Himself. All power was given to Him in heaven and in earth. Okay? So you see, I think Acts chapter 5 is very clear the difference between a mission and commission. A mission has really no legitimacy, no power, no authority, but someone who's commissioned has the legitimacy, the power, and the authority of the one who sent them. And it was Christ who sent them. We together this morning? Does that make sense? That's the Word of God. That book, you can't beat this book with a stick. Whew. Question number one, to whom was the commission given? Who were these people in Matthew chapter 28? Now, this is often debated among God's people, but in the midst of the debate, we should not lose the bottom line truth. Now, what's the debate? Well, debate has several fronts. Was this given to individuals or was this given to the church? Well, some say that the church didn't start till the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Some say it started under the ministry of Jesus Christ on earth. It's not always easy to ascertain how many people heard the commission. Was it just 11? Or was it the 11 and a few others, some of the women who followed Christ? Was it the 120 in the upper room on the day of Pentecost? To whom was this given? Was this given to individuals? Was it given to a church? How many people heard this? Let me tell you what I believe. And I'm not here to argue about it. I believe that Jesus started the church during His ministry. That's what I believe. I believe that based on Scripture. There are reasons why I believe that. Okay? So I believe Jesus gave the commission to the church. The 11 were there, but it was given to more than just the 11. I'll show you that in just a minute. So here's this group of people. Now look, we could waste time arguing about, no, the church started on this, and no, the church started under Christ. That was given to individuals. No, it was given to the church. It was given to the 11. It was given to... We could debate all that, folks, and get into argue, but listen, we'll lose sight of the bottom line truth. Obviously, there was more than one person in the group. There were at least 11, maybe close to 120. Whether they were a church yet or not, Jesus commissioned that group to go. Can we agree on that? Okay. And because they were commissioned, they were sent with legitimacy, power, and authority. Right? His. Now, that commission was followed by that group. Now, you say, that seems like a huge task. If it was 11 or 120, there's 80,000 people in Jerusalem. And then they've got to go to every nation. So question number two, how did they start? How did they start? Acts chapter 5, back there in Acts chapter 5 again, and verse number 28. Acts chapter 5, verse number 28. This is when they were bringing that crowd out of prison in the temple. They brought them to the council. And in verse 28, The priest said, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled, what's the next word? With your doctrine. Where did these men live? Where did these men live? They lived in Jerusalem. So they started in their what? Their home. Following the commission that Jesus gave them, backed by His authority and His power, they began to teach and preach about Jesus Christ. And folks, they specifically began to teach specific truths about Jesus. And I want you to see in Acts chapter 5, verse 42, how they did it. Look at verse 42. And daily in the temple and in every house. So in their home area, they went what? House to house. House to house. House to house. Okay? That's how they started. Now look at Luke chapter 24. Look at Luke chapter 24. We get another clear statement here in the Bible about their getting started. Luke chapter, how to start. Luke chapter 24. And again, post-resurrection appearance of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 24. And beginning with verse number 30, okay? You're going to take a little time here in this, but just stick with me. Verse number 30. And it came to pass as He, that's Jesus, sat at meat with them. That's the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Okay, are we with each other there? Everybody know where you are now? Okay. As He sat at meat with them, He took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened and they knew Him. They realized it was Jesus Christ. And verse number 33. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and, what's the next phrase? Them that were, so was there more than 11? Okay, more than 11. Verse 36. And as they thus spake, those two disciples, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. So Jesus shows up to those, that group of people. And look what He says in verse number 46. And He said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Stop. Suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. What is that talking about? The death, burial, and resurrection, put it in one word, gospel. Verse 47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all, beginning at Jerusalem. The message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ was to be taken to their home area. Jerusalem. And so they did. And in Acts chapter 5, the high priest says, man, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. So they were getting the job done. The message of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. That's how a person gets saved. A person doesn't get saved by joining a church, by being baptized. A person gets ready for heaven by accepting the fact that they are sinners before God. They cannot pay their own sin debt, but thank God Jesus died, was buried, rose again. And if I believe that and tell God I need it, I am saved. And they filled Jerusalem with their doctrine. Okay? That's how they started. Question number 3. How did they carry on with their commission? After they got started, how did they carry on? All right, let's go to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, quickly now. And we're in good shape here. Acts chapter 8, and look at verse number 1. Okay, Acts chapter 8 and verse number 1. So in chapter 5, they filled Jerusalem with the doctrine. Acts chapter 8, verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church. So folks, whether it started under Jesus or in Acts chapter 2, by this time, it's a what? It's a church. Right? All right. Which was at where? Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. except the apostles. What? The church was scattered abroad to the regions of Judea and Samaria. That's Acts 8:1. Put your finger there. Turn to Acts 1:8. 8:1. Now look at Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in and in all and in. Back to Acts chapter 8, verse 1. They were scattered abroad throughout the regions of. Oh. What scattered them? Persecution. Tough times. Difficulty. So they fled, and they went to the areas where Jesus told them to go. Start in Jerusalem, keep witnessing there, and then branch out to all of Judea and go out to... So here's what happened, folks. This church filled their home area with the doctrine of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. A lot of folks got saved, but then they sat down. And God said, no. This message is too big. It's too important for just Jerusalem. It's not for the Jews only. It's for the Gentiles. It's for all the world. And I told you to go to Judea. And I told you to go to Samaria. And so He sent persecution to scatter them. And they began to leave and go to other places. And Acts chapter 8 and other places, you can see them going and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because the commission was not to Jerusalem. The commission was what? To all nations. Acts chapter 11. Let's go there. Okay, you okay? We all right? Acts chapter 11, verse 19. Acts chapter 11, verse 19. Now, they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that rose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch. Judea was basically Jewish. Samaria was part Jewish. But when you get to Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, now you're getting outside of the Jewish. You're getting into Gentile territory. And so they're obeying now. They're taking the gospel to the world. Look at verse 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. You said, what made that number of Gentile people believe and turn to God? The same message that made the Jews turn to God. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Take it everywhere. That's what he said. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. They're taking it everywhere. Acts 17, verse 1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica in the country of Macedonia. Get a Bible map this afternoon. Look at it in the back of your Bible. From where they were to where they are in Acts 17 is a long haul. Miles and miles. Okay? Look at verse number 6. They're in Thessalonica. Look at verse number 6. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. This same bunch that has been everywhere preaching the gospel have come here as well. So are they fulfilling the Great Commission? Yes. They're getting it to all nations. Back to Acts chapter 9. Last reference today. Acts chapter 9. We'll go back to a previous reference in just a minute. Acts chapter 9, verse 31. This is right after Saul got saved. Verse 31. Then had the church. Then had the church. Which means what? Plural, more than one. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria. Churches were multiplied. The end of verse number 31. Walking in the fear of the Lord, in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. What was multiplied? Churches. Churches. What are they doing? They've been commissioned. Where are they going? Every nation. What are they preaching? The gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection. People are getting saved, baptized. What are they doing? starting churches. Churches were multiplied. And people, this is how the gospel continues to get to every creature, to every nation. Churches take responsibility. Churches understand they have a commission. The commission to go was not just handed down to that first group, church or not, whatever you, I call it a church, maybe you don't, but that commission wasn't handed down to just them, because they were told, when you get a group of converts together and start a church, you teach them to observe the things I've taught you. And He taught them to go, so guess what they taught the churches they started to do? Go! And when other churches were started, they were taught to go. And this is how the gospel gets to every nation, to every creature. Churches take responsibility to get the gospel to the world. That's why we have Emphasis Month. Because by the grace of God, we need to seize the responsibility. Folks, this did not stop in the first century. This was passed down from church to church to church to church to church to church to Faith Baptist Church. We are commanded. We've been taught to go with the gospel. Now, we need to teach people to go with the gospel. We need to teach people to go. We need some people to volunteer to go, to feel called of God to go. We need to finance other people to go, because this is not just something we do. This is not just our brainchild. This is not just our mission with no legitimacy, no authority, no power behind it. This is our commission. And I would encourage you to jump in. Let me ask you a question. Do you think we have filled Kankakee River Valley area with our doctrine? Has every soul heard about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Is every soul saved? And this is our home? This is where we live. So we have a responsibility to go, and then we have a responsibility to go a little bit further, and then we have a responsibility to go to the world. This is not just our idea. Folks, if it had just been their idea, it would have died. Like the other two groups in Acts chapter 5. But it's not their idea. It's of God. And when it's of God, you can't fight against it. If it's of God, the best thing to do is just get in His program. Get in His program. You say, well, I'm glad our church does. I'm glad Faith Baptist does. But do you? This is where some of you are really struggling right now. I think showing up here on Sunday morning is your ticket. I'm going to tell you something. God expects far more out of you than that. We've been given a commission. It's not my idea. Didn't come out of anywhere but the Word of God. The pattern is for us in the Scripture. And it is a commission. And I'm going to tell you something. We're going to stand before God someday and give an account for how we did with His commission. My suggestion is, you better take it personally. You better not just come to a church that has a passion for it. You better get a passion for it yourself. Get in. Get in. Come go with us on Tuesday. Come go with us on Saturday to our home area. Well, we had a great prayer meeting yesterday. I was shocked because when I left last week to go to Georgia, there was only a handful of names on that men's prayer breakfast sheet. But my goodness, there were probably close to between 50 and 60 men and boys here yesterday. Blew me out of the water. We met over here after breakfast. Had a great fellowship, great breakfast. We met over here for one purpose, to pray. Pardon me, we did not pray for any sick person. We did not pray for any backslidden person. We prayed for one thing. Fruit. Fruit. For Faith Baptist Church to bear fruit. To see people saved in their homes. To see people saved in our services. We prayed that we would not be barren. That's what we prayed for yesterday. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to shoot straight with you, straight as I can. I'm going to shoot straight as an arrow right now. I'll tell you. Let me tell you, those in this church who should be concerned the most that Faith Baptist Church does not sit down on its commission, and that's you young couples. Because what if Jesus stays in heaven another 20 years? What if your kid's no longer 3, but they're 18? You want them in a church that's right on the Word of God? You want them in a church that has a little bit of God's favor on it? This is not a social club. You're very short-sighted. Well, you know, if something happens to Faith Baptist, I'll just find another place to go. Okay, go ahead. But some of you live here. And you young couples, bless your heart. You know, we got kids. What do you think, none of us had kids? I'm getting a little weary of that. We have kids. Like none of us who are my age, who came here 28 years ago. Some were already here. Others joined us in the first few years. And, you know, we haven't been perfect. We've not done everything we could, but we've labored in the field. And that's one reason why God has been favorable to us now. And one reason why you can bring your little 5- and 6-year-olds here to church. And there's more than one other kid in their class. And there's more than 3 teenagers. And there's a little bit of a spirit where a man years, weeks ago walks into this place and tells, he told me, he said, you know, the first time I walked in here, I sensed the Spirit of God. I'm not saying that he did. You want to know how to lose all that? Give up on the commission. Quit going. Quit witnessing. Quit passing out tracts. Quit giving to missions. Quit answering the call to go to missions. Folks, you and I have no earthly idea how much of God's favor on a church depends on what the church does with the commission. Some of you young couples need to buckle down like we did and put some time in. With our kids. We made it work. I'm concerned. There seems to be a generational gap at Faith Baptist. Now, I'm going to tell you something, friend. You want to take God's faith. Let me ask you a question. When did persecution come? When did it come? When they sat down. And God said, No. No, that's not what I told you. No. Well, I'm telling you something, man. You talk about important. That's why I said at the beginning of the message, missions emphasis month has ended, but the emphasis on getting the gospel out should never come to an end at Faith Baptist Church. Never. Has to keep going. Has to keep on and keep on and keep on. Arlington Cemetery, Washington, D.C. I've used it before. I'll use it again. Tomb of the Unknown, the changing of the guard. If you've not been there, you get a chance to go to D.C., avoid the Senate, and go to the cemetery. See where the real heroes are in this country. The real heroes are not demented people running through the halls of the Capitol building, screaming and yelling like a bunch of third world uncivil minded. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. But I can't preach that. I got to stay on target here, okay? But there's always next Sunday. They got that guard walking in front of that tomb back and forth. You talk about precision. You talk about exact. I believe it's 21 steps, turns, 21 steps, turns, 21 steps. I mean, it's so precise. I think he does that for 20 minutes, rain, shine, cold, heat. Doesn't matter. He's out there. Here comes the superior officer with the relieving sentinel guard. They meet at this end. The supervising officer does all the inspections. There are three statements made, one by each person. The superior commanding officer says to the man coming off duty, pass on your orders. The man coming off duty says, post and orders remain as directed. The man coming on duty answers, orders acknowledged. 21 steps, 21 steps, 21 steps, 21 steps. 20 minutes later, here comes another. Here comes the superior guard, commanding officer. Here comes the relieving officer. Inspections are made. Pass on your orders. Post and orders remain as directed. Orders acknowledged. You get it, church? From one generation to the next. Pass on your orders. Post and orders remain as directed. Well, what were those? Go ye. Orders acknowledged. Some of you have to respond, orders ignored.
Well, you shouldn't say something.
Okay. Some of you should say orders ignored. How do you want me to say it, folks? Either you acknowledge them or you ignore them. This is church. This is Bible preaching, Brother Larry. You don't get what you want to hear. You get what the Word of God says. Man, nobody's going to like you at 61. At least I think I'm 61. I asked Reed Thacker in Sunday school, how old are you? He goes, he looks at Emily. He goes, I think I'm 28. You think? I think I'm 51. I think I'm 51. Pass on your orders to the next generation. Posted orders remain as directed. Orders ignored or orders acknowledged. Come on, folks. Come on. Either they're ignored or they're acknowledged. You know, cross your arms, look at me with a hard look on your face. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. I'm not bothered. Because that's what the book teaches. From church to church to church to church. You've been commissioned. Sitting with authority, legitimacy, power, go to every nation. That's what we have. Amen. You know what would be great if we had a life-changing service? I'm talking about where, you know, we get the church service and the Spirit of God stirs us up and, wow, that's great, that's wonderful. And 2 days later, it's pew. But every now and again, a service happens where somebody's life is changed. And somebody should say today, you know what, I'm tired of ignoring the orders and making every excuse in the world. I got to quit. Nobody had time to go visiting 10 years ago because I'm so busy. And then the internet came along. And Facebook and Instagram, all of a sudden we got all kinds of time. You know what happened to me? Yesterday, I didn't know this was on my phone. I don't know how it came up. I looked at my screen and it said, you all know more than that, hours used, hour, screen hours this past week, 3 hours and 36 minutes. What? What? You mean I had that thing on 3 hours? And 36 minutes? And I've been in the hospital and, you know, I look at the Fox News, I look at ESPN, see the sports scores. I spent 3 hours looking at that screen. Shocked me. So you get that done in one day. You got time. You're either going to order, you're either going to acknowledge the orders or ignore the orders. One or the other. One or the other. Now, as a church, let me tell you what has to happen. As a church has to have a core of people who just say, you know what, we're doing this. Because it's, never will everybody jump on board. But the greater the number, the better it is. Let's pray together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. All right. Couple questions this morning. Who's here would say, Pastor, I'm listening, I hear, I see it in the book. I don't want to chafe against it. I don't want to ignore it. I need to acknowledge this and in some way make this happen. And God spoke to my heart about it today. Would you raise your hand wherever you may be sitting this morning? God bless you. I appreciate it. Thank you. God bless you. Let me ask this question, more important. Is there anybody here who would say, Pastor Angel, I do not know if I died today that I would go to heaven? You talked about this gospel of Jesus Christ and knowing for sure that you're going to heaven. I don't know that. I was there. I was there years ago. But you can know based on God's word. That's authority. I'd love to help you to know. If you're not sure that you're saved, I would invite you. When the invitation is given in just a moment, there are three men standing here at the front. Just come right to them, one of them, and say, I need to be saved. I don't know if I'm going to heaven or hell. I don't know. Why don't you do that this morning? Christ died for you. He loves you. He wants to save you. Come and be saved. Some of you came to be baptized this morning. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you came to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, now is a good time to come while we wait. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You can come now and we'll get you ready for baptism. I know a couple folks came for that purpose this morning. While we wait. If you're not sure that you're saved, all you got to do is come to one of these three men and just say, you know what? I don't know if I'm saved. And somebody will show you from the Bible how to be saved. Okay? If you've been spoken to by God this morning, why don't you come have one of those life-changing, at the beginning of a life-changing moment when you acknowledge the orders and decide to get involved to where it changes things. While we wait, let's stand together, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, the ladies are playing a song of invitation. Would you come today while we wait? You ask the Lord, what would He have you to do? Would you come? Would you like to know how to be saved? Would you like to know how to be saved for sure? On your way to heaven when you die, knowing for sure that heaven is your home. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Is the answer to every person's need for eternal life. Would you come today and trust Christ as your Savior while we wait? Obey the Lord this morning. Just the piano as we close the invitation part. Ushers, you're ready, please, with the material this morning. I'm ready to go quickly here. Be seated, please, with your head bowed and eyes closed just for a moment while some finish up praying this morning. Thrilled to have some young people come over from the junior church where the gospel is preached and they go forward, they're dealt with, and twice on the matter of salvation and carefully, and they received Christ as their Savior. That's wonderful. God bless you. That most important decision. Amen.